You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Always good to talk to this guy. He is, of course, Eric LeGrand, who joins us right now. A Walk to Believe, the 10th annual Walk to Believe, is coming up soon. For information, go to awalktobelieve.org, raising money for Team LeGrand and the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation. E, what's up, brother?
What's happening, Chris? How you doing?
I'm great. How are you? People are killing me tonight because I'm saying that Tom Brady is slightly above Jordan on the Mount Rushmore of sports.
Oh, you're tripping. You're tripping. You're tripping. You're tripping.
Oh, stop it. Stop it. Stop it.
You're bugging.
Listen, I have no reason.
I understand all Tom Brady's stats. 9 Super Bowl appearances in whatever, 20 years. And, you know, winning the AFC championship, running that at the AFC East. I get all that, but did you just watch that Last Dance?
I did.
Come on, man.
The love letter to Jordan? I did watch it. He wrote it to himself.
Oh, man, that's fantastic. But I needed that documentary, though, because I was young when it all was going on, you know, the early 90s. I was born in 1990, so I didn't get to fully understand it. But watching that documentary, my favorite basketball players have always been Kevin Garnett and Michael Jordan. Watching that documentary really solidified it for me just because there's will to win. I love that.
Yeah. I mean, listen, this is no knock on Jordan. My thing about Michael is, and about the whole series, is it was just great to get an opportunity to see him play again in his prime, but more so that guys like you got that chance to see it as well. And it's not just a couple of highlights. You really understood what it was about.
Yeah, the clips that go into practice, you know, showing him getting on his players, then the relationship that he had with his parents, you know, that was, I thought, was, you know, pretty phenomenal that we got to see of him. And then also, we always know that he's not in the media too much, but we really got to see, you know, it's hard to beat Michael Jordan, especially, you know, being like the introvert type of person he is. Everywhere he goes, people are just all over him, and he kind of wants to, you know, just be on his own and do his own thing, so... I loved how we got to dive into his story. I got to learn a little bit more about him and relive some of that stuff that I saw when I was a kid.
Eric LeGrand is with us, of course. All right, so I'll ask you a couple of questions about the series, and you give me your response. What were you most surprised about in the series?
Definitely the way that they portray Scottie Pippen. You know, because all I hear is Scottie Pippen is the best number two ever out there, but... You know, the way it portrayed him is he was, I don't want to say soft, but had a lot of injuries, missed a lot of games, you know, missed games, sat out, understandably, you know, his contract. I wouldn't have been happy with that contract either, but yeah. I was very surprised at the way that they portrayed Scottie Pippen in that, because all you hear about how great he really was, and without him, Michael Jordan wouldn't have won those 6 championships.
Well, he wouldn't have, and I agree that, see, I don't think he was portrayed as poorly as everybody made out. Now, what really hurt him the most to me, I was shocked, and I remember the game that he sat out against the Knicks on the last shot because they wanted him to inbound. I remember that in 94. The thing that I'm shocked about is that he said he would do it again. I was stunned about that.
Yes, I know when he said I would do it again, I was like, geez, I'm very interested to see what it was like day-to-day with Jerry Krause and dealing with those guys. I know Jordan used to get on him and make fun of him and whatnot, but imagine when they really weren't like actually joking around. Like, what was Jerry Krause saying behind the scenes about Scottie Pippen? And I would love to see – I wish they would have aired what Scottie Pippen was yelling from the back of the bus at Jerry Krause.
See, here's my other problem with this. We're talking with Eric LeGrand. Is that Pippen's all over Jerry Krause, right? The owner's the one that made the deal with him, and Reinsdorf doesn't get enough heat on that. It was a terrible contract. I don't blame him for waiting and not ruining his summer and waiting until the beginning of the next season. They had won 5 championships already, and Reinsdorf's the one that made the deal and said, don't come back to me. How much money did Jerry Reinsdorf make off of that team off of so many years?
Oh, yeah, that is true. The owner doesn't get enough slack because at the end of the day, Jerry Krause can say what he wants to say, but the owner is the one who's signing the checks, and he is the final say. So he does not get enough flack for what he was able to do. And as you just mentioned, how much money did he make from that team? And then you see what happened to that team right after they left him. When Jordan said that he would have came back for a seventh year and tried to convince everyone else, damn, that got me. Could you imagine if he would have came back for one more year, signed a one-year deal?
All right, man. Let's talk about that for a second. I don't think it ever would have happened, not because of Jordan. He says it would have taken a little bit of convincing with Scotty, right? There is no way, with that contract finally being up, that Scottie Pippen, given all that water under the bridge or everything that had happened, would have ever come back for a one-year deal. And I wouldn't blame him one bit. You've won them six championships. Why do I owe it a seventh?
So that's the thing. That's where the money comes in and how much you want to win and, cement your legacy even more with that situation. Because with him, he deserved to get paid, and he went on to the Portland Trail Blazers, got paid and all that. He deserved it. Depending on, I guess, how much he wanted to win again, because Jordan convinced him, also Phil Jackson, it took a lot for Jordan to get in the room. But we know how Jordan could sway a room and sway people to maybe come back for one more year. It would have been awesome to see. But Scottie Pippen did what he needed to do. He deserved to get paid, and he moved on, and everyone else moved on.
I'll go to the flip side of it. So you had the lockout the next year. You had 50 games in a shorter period of time. I think that if they had come back, when we looked at how out of gas they were at the end, I think if they had come back, they would have lost. Even if they made it to the finals, you would have had the Spurs with a young Tim Duncan and with David Robinson, and matchup wise, that would have been absolutely just a killer. And for me, I'm glad he never lost. Like he wanted to keep going until he got knocked off. I don't ever want to see him get knocked off, and I think that adds to his legacy. What do you think?
I will 1,000% agree with that one, Chris. I'm glad that he never lost, because that's what you can really say. He never lost in the NBA Finals, and that kind of cements him as the greatest of all time, because he got there and won every MVP, who never lost. And if he would have been knocked off the top, say he did come back for that seventh year and they did somehow win again. What does happen the eighth year? Does he try to do it again and whatnot? So it's a lot of what is and whatnot, but I do 100% agree. I'm happy you can say he never lost in the NBA Final.
The last thing I'll say about Scotty is, notice how when they were talking about coming back from the seventh year, they didn't have a clip of Scotty saying, yeah, I would have come back. Because they asked him. asked him. And what Scotty's response would have been. I think that was just part of that crafting of that narrative.
If they asked him that question, he probably walked off the set. He probably walked off the set.
Eric LeGrand with us. So good to hear your voice as usual. So, describe what this pandemic has been like from your perspective, because it's so different when it comes to your immune system and everything that you battle.
Yeah, Chris, the only really live TV you get to see is the news now, and watching the news, you just hear of all the deaths in it. And I'm not going to lie, it messes with your mind a little bit, because as you mentioned, I am compromised. I do have secondary complications from my injury. I don't have, full access to my lungs to function. So if I come down with something, I've already battled pneumonia in the past 2 years, three or four times, and I know how that knocks me out. And now they talk about the coronavirus being 10 times worse than that. It's just a situation where people with spinal cord injuries where it is fatal to us. And at one point, I haven't left my house or my driveway in 51 days, and I finally, after 51 days, I ventured off my driveway and went around the block with my mom walking the dog. And, it felt good to get out and everything. But I just have to take extra precautions, because if I do get this, this virus, who knows what will happen. And I don't want to see. And I don't have to try to fight it.
Yeah, no doubt. And you're right. You watch the news. It can mess with any one of us right now. I hate to say it. I try not to, because I want to know what I have to know, but there's more, and ironic that I'm saying this, there's more opinion than news right now, and a lot of it's based on not a lot of facts.
Exactly, and then you hear one thing from this person, and then you hear something from the next person, and then, of course, it's an election year, so you got to deal with that, who's trying to get an edge in the election, all the politics, and I hate politics. I love people. I love everyone being together, and politics, my God, the way that our country is divided right now, it's insane. So I absolutely hate it, but I do watch it because I want to be informed on what's actually going on and when we're going to be able to try to get back to some type of normalcy, but also taking all the precautions that we need to stay safe.
Eric LeGrand with us. Without sports, as huge of a sports fan as you are, what have you been watching?
Man, Chris, I haven't been through, I think, everything on Netflix now. I'm about to go through the Amazon list. I'm a big TV guy. I do keep my mind stimulated over here. Like, I'm trying to learn my Espanol over here. That's going rough for me, but I enjoy doing it. I love the challenge. I've been reading or listening to audiobooks. I listened to Carly Lloyd's audiobook, and now I'm about to finish up David Goggins. I think I'm going to do Kobe's next. And then, my Netflix shows. I just finished up the show White Lines on there. That was a crazy one that takes place in the Bees. I've been watching a lot Money Heist on here. Ozark was one. I ran through that in 28 hours. That was insane.
All right. So a couple of things. Number one, and you know me, I watched Ozark and I hated it. I watched the entire thing. I kept waiting, and here was my biggest problem. It just became about toward the end who's getting knocked off next.
Yeah. See, this is where Ozark went wrong with me. I thought the brother had too much to do with this season, and I hated when he showed up at that event and just lost his mind and then got taken out of the psychiatric. And of course, he ended up getting whacked, but I thought that he should have got it way earlier, and they should have put the focus on, you know, dealing with the brother's situation. And I thought he could have got whacked a lot earlier, and then they could have built up more of the drama between, you know, Marty Bird and the family and, you know, the other drug dealers. And I thought there was actually going to be more stuff. Remember what the scene where they were at the horse farm?
Yeah.
And they captured the horse. I thought they were going to build that up more and run with that a little bit, but they kind of just ended like, yeah, this happened, and deal with it.
Yeah, could have done without that. I could have done without that. Eric LeGrand with us. All right, your opinion now on, you know, college football, and not whether we're going to play, whether we're not going to play. I don't want to get into that. But just more from the standpoint of, you know, being somebody that played the sport, if you're in the position now, what are you thinking as a student athlete right now going through this kind of a situation about playing, about potentially no fans, maybe there's nobody on campus, but you guys have to go back. What are the things that you're thinking about right now as an athlete?
As an 18 to 22-year-old student athlete, you know, I'm looking for guidance because it's so unknown right now that what is going to happen? What is my career going to be like? I know all these college players, they want to get to the NFL. That's, you know, the goal of the dreams and the aspirations. And right now, they're probably worried about, is that going to be placed on hold? Am I going to have a season? Am I going to be able to, you know, perform the way I want to perform? So right now, I'll be looking for guidance and leaning on my coaches as much as possible. I'm trying to learn as much information as possible. And I look at, you know, the Rutgers situation, of course, you know, that's, you know, where I went, where I played, and so I can feel bad for the kids because they didn't get that spring ball experience. And what if they have to come back in July or August and then just have a 6-week training camp and then have to go right into play? It might be some ugly football we might see, you know? So I do feel for the student athletes right now and what they're going through, especially with any program that has a new coach coming into their system. So right now I'm just looking for guidance in every which way because there's just so much unknown. And I just want to do my part and make sure I'm keeping myself right for when things get back to normal.
Having played for him, what would you tell kids on that team right now who are learning what to expect from Greg Schiano?
I'll be making sure. You know, coach is going nuts on those WebExes and making sure those players know every single detail. I would make sure I know it to a T because when we get back and we have to get back on the field, he is going to expect you to know everything that was taught in those meetings. And since everything is compromised now, you don't have enough time to keep on repping it and repping it and repping it. You're only going to get a few reps at a time. So if I would give them advice, make sure you are studying that playbook and all the terminology that they're bringing onto you. Because when you get back, he is going to expect that you were paying attention, that you knew it, and you weren't slacking off or dazing off, looking over to the side and not being attentive, and somebody might be playing Call of Duty in the middle of a meeting. If that ever happened, they're in for a rude awakening when they get back.
Eric LeGrand. All right, E, a Walk to Believe, going to be a little bit different this year. 10th annual Walk to Believe coming up, awalktobelieve.org. What do we got in store this year?
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit different. This year was supposed to be special, Chris, because my 10-year anniversary is coming up in October, and this event is just 10 years since we've had it, 10 years since we've had it. And we were going to do it at night. We were going to have a live DJ, fireworks and everything over on Bush campus, over at the stadium, and it was going to be something special. And when we had to postpone it, I'm not going to lie, that first week, Chris, it hurt. I had to just take my time to just gather myself and just be like, wow, this is really happening. But then we went back to the drawing boards and we said, you know what? We want to make this special. Even though we can't do it in person, we can do this virtually. And we can, I think, get more participants, because you don't have to be in New Jersey to be able to do this. And we came up with the idea, since my number is 52, we want to get all 52 states, that includes D.C. and Puerto Rico, U.S. Virgin Islands, to participate in this. One person from each state to be able to participate that day and walk a 5K in honor of myself and a Walk to Believe. And either run, walk, crawl, whatever you can do. But we're trying to get all 52 states to participate in this. And I think it's going to be a very, very special day. Also, DJ Yoshi is going to close it out. He's going to go on Team LeGrand Live Facebook. And he's going to be spinning tunes for the next hour for us to celebrate at the end of it.
That's awesome. What's the date again, E?
It's going to be on June 6th. The opening ceremony is where everyone that signs up. We're going to have a nice video edited from over the past 10 years. And myself speaking as well. And then we're going to get everyone started around 10 a.m. And it's going to end it right at 7 p.m. where this is all Eastern time, when DJ Yoshi comes on live and starts spinning some tunes. So June 6th, go to actually ChristopherReeve.org/AWTB to sign up and register. If you can't register, you can't do it, please donate. Because it's in times like this, Chris, when a lot of nonprofits and charities, they are hurting too. I know we are dealing with COVID-19, and that is number one right now, but the mission can't stop for us as well, and we need as much support as possible.
And there's no question that for people who are dealing with spinal cord injuries, it makes COVID that much more dangerous right now.
It really does, and there's a lot. I've talked to a lot of people now that have been in wheelchairs, and you know, some are handling it okay, and some are not. We have to stay inside. We have to cut down on our nurses that come in and help us. We can't see our friends and family that we need for help. It's insane. As you know, my auntie Cheryl, my aunt and uncle, I got to see them in the driveway and whatnot. But usually when my aunt comes, she gives my mom a break and helps me, whether if it's feeding me, wiping my eye, doing this and that. We haven't been able to do that. My mom's been having to run around and do everything. It's just nuts. And it affects a lot more people than just myself when it comes to situations like that.
Just one last one. How do you handle rehab right now? How do you handle physical therapy? Have you had to put it on hold?
Well, I don't go to Kessler anymore for the moment, but thank God I do have the items here that I would be doing that therapy. I get on my leg bike once or twice a week to strengthen on my legs. I do an arm bike once or twice a week, and I have a standing frame where it stands me up and I can just stand up and get that pressure on my bones and keep the blood circulating. So I have the stuff here to be able to just continue my therapy, thank God, because if not, I'll be stiff as a board right now and things would not be good.
Well, E, listen, it's always great to talk to you. I'm looking forward to being back in the booth with you soon, with you, me, and Ray. We know we always have a good time, even though I'm grandpa.
Your grandpa, Ray and I, we just go nuts. But I will say, everyone that listens to us, they always give us great compliments, and they love when we start just going off on our tangents, especially when you said, miss me with that candy corner. That was great, Chris.
E, you're the best. And I'm tweeting it out right now, ChristopherReeve.org/AWTB. It's coming up on June the 6th. Good talking to you, man. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Chris. I appreciate you.
Absolutely. Eric LeGrand with us. Always awesome to talk to E, and always inspiring, and just a guy that has a smile on his face all the time. And that's impossible to believe that's 10 years ago. I believe it was October 10th, 2010, at MetLife Stadium when Rutgers was playing Army, when Eric got injured. And, boy, I'll tell you what, I've learned an awful lot from that guy over the last 10 years. Take part June 6th, 10th annual A Walk to Believe, and it's ChristopherReeve.org/AWTB.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.